And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. Joining me today on the phone line is Pastor John Vance, a dear friend and a board member here at Redeemer. And Pastor Vance, welcome. It's nice to have you along with us today.
It's a privilege to be with you, Dan, and your listeners.
There's so many things that we could talk about. We chatted for 5 minutes before opening the mic and just kind of got a little idea of where we're going. Let me just throw one out right now. I saw some statistic the other day that came across the desk that was telling me that so many pastors are going to be voting on the left. I'm thinking, what? What's that all about? What's going on there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you seen any movement in that direction from your vantage point, Pastor Vance?
I read a blog that raises some of these questions. Yes, I've seen a number of articles. I think Christianity Today, which is not so evangelical anymore, but
no.
Christianity Today has done a number of the articles on this, reporting on it. And then there is another, Real Clear Religion, which is part of Real Clear Politics. I don't know whether you know that they have a religious blog as well. And I read that pretty faithfully. Yes, it's quite prominent in this election season. Number of, quote, evangelical pastors and other evangelical leaders have come out for really left-wing causes and for the left-wing party, a part of the Democratic Party, and what they stand for, as if it's a virtuous act.
Yes, yes. Well, it's just it kind of surprised me, and it was like a fairly large number, like 20% or 25% were not going to vote the typical conservative, and I'm thinking, what? But anyway, I guess it wasn't just me that saw that. It's kind of interesting. I've thought about this, Pastor Vance. We often think, well, it's always the life issue, you know, and that's a huge issue, of course. I'm convinced that other issues are maybe not as important as, but almost, something as simple as energy, and energy to power our automobiles, to heat our homes, to do this, that, the other thing, that really affects Christians. It affects our churches. It affects me when I, you know, where I go to church. Deb and I live over an hour away one way, and the price of gas is basically double of what it used to be. And all these things really have, just that one issue alone, the war on fossil fuels, has had a ripple effect through our entire economy. It affects our radio station. It becomes more expensive for it to operate. The price of electricity is much higher than it used to be, because 60% of the energy for electricity comes from fossil fuel. There's a lot of issues, it seems to me, that if you look at them from that perspective, tie directly to the Christian's well-being in America.
I think what is happening, too, you bring up a good point about energy, because, of course, some of these leaders believe that environmental issues and global climate change, which means global warming — they weren't getting very far with the global warming label, so they changed it to climate change, which involves anything and everything, so you can do what you want to with that label. I think that politics is today is trumping biblical principles and morals and perspective. It's quite clear that that is taking place, and there's an old adage, if I can remember it, he who is married to the spirit of the age will be a widower tomorrow.
Yeah.
And what that means is that they're tying themselves politically to very temporal issues. And it's more than energy or right to life. It's an attempt, too, to be edgy and accepted. Never forget that people want to be accepted and have a strong desire to be accepted. And we used to say that politics would be, that Hollywood would be changed by money. All you had to do is not, if they make a movie, it's not a 10, and they'll change the agenda and quit being so left-wing. Well, we found out that didn't work because these producers are not making movies always to get money, though they do that, of course. But they're also making them for their friends. And the approval of friends and the approval of other elites is a tremendous driving factor, this idea of being accepted. That's a psychological matter, but I think it's important. And I don't think, if you want to know the truth along these lines, if, since we're discussing it, that people don't think logically.
No.
It is a problem. There is delusional thinking in these areas. And I've mentioned this before when we've talked, but in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, there's an interesting verse. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the very beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. And he goes on to talk about that he will send delusions in the last days.
Yes.
Now, we are in the last days, according to Hebrews, since the resurrection of Christ.
Correct.
So I'm not talking about end times such as such. So there are a lot of factors that go into this, but I would not minimize just simply having the approval of other elites or things like that. You know, Christianity ultimately will fall out of favor with all kinds of people, and it takes courage, it takes faith to take a stand against the powers that be.
No question about it. I like this reference you've brought up, how that a strong delusion is sent to people, and they believe the lies. There's another aspect that I've noticed, and it's kind of hard to believe, but it's happening. There's some people around us that say, well, I think that we should send long-range missiles and target Russia. And I'm thinking, what? Are you crazy? You got to be out of your mind. Launching a long-range missile into Russia, it's crazy. And do you want World War III? I think, I don't want to scare people, Pastor Vance, but if these delusional people get in charge or they take even more power, we will definitely have World War III. I don't know what's wrong with their thinking.
But the left used to be, quote, the peace next. Peace next.
Right.
It ceased to be. They're warmongers.
They are.
Well, of course it's foolish to consider sending long-range missiles into Russia. They have they have larger nuclear, more arsenal, a larger one than we have. That's crazy, stupid, whatever. It's also true that China is being bellicose in the South China Sea and in the Sea of Japan. They're sending warships, carriers,
they are,
warship group close to Japan.
They are actively preparing.
This world is dangerous. World is dangerous, and we have to have very, very good leadership and smart leadership who understand what's going on in the world. There's a wonderful verse in the Old Testament. I think it's the tribe of Issachar. And it says that God gave them understanding in their own times.
Yeah.
They understood the seasons and times that we were in. And we ought to pray to God sincerely that God would send us leaders who understand the times.
Yeah. Yeah, we really need that. Today we're talking with our dear friend, Pastor John Vance. He serves as a board member here at Redeemer, and we're having a fireside chat, as it were, and it's still fairly warm where I'm located, and probably even more so where you are in West Virginia, so we just have this concept of a fireside chat. Doesn't mean it's cold outside. Pastor Vance is... sometimes he worries me because a little while ago you got dehydrated, and I don't know how much you want to share with our listeners, but you're feeling much better now, as I understand it.
Yes, I'm doing fine. I did get severely dehydrated and some of the symptoms that go with that, and then I was misdiagnosed by a doctor. Not the diagnosis as such, but he gave me a medicine that conflicted with a medicine that I'm taking.
Yeah.
And I was in danger of dying.
Yeah.
And it caused kidney failure.
My word.
A bunch of things like that. And
we almost lost you.
Totally back to normal. Yeah, totally back to normal. I could have been. Totally back to normal.
Praise God that you're okay.
All my blood work is fine.
Oh,
and
good.
I just spent 2 hours playing basketball with some real old guys yesterday. We had a lot of fun. I really have no physical limitations. You'd have to ask my wife about my mental state.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. In this world, there's a lot of conflict, and one of our programs here at Redeemer talks about the Christian persecution that's ongoing. We play it on the weekend, Voice of the Martyrs. I can't take a steady diet of it because it can be kind of discouraging at times, but nevertheless, religious persecution is occurring and has occurred and will occur in the future. And it's also gauged, you know, if we have a Christian nation or a nation heavily influenced by Christianity, let's say, there's a lot less religious persecution. Can you talk about religious persecution just a little bit?
Yes, it comes in many forms. There is persecution actually here in this country in one sense. It's clear that the Justice Department made a decision to prosecute those people who stand outside of abortion clinics and pray. Happened in England too. One woman was put in jail in England for just simply bowing her head close to an abortion clinic. And she was praying silently, but they arrested her. We have that. Now, that's really not much persecution in one sense, but yet the people who are being put behind bars in this country are threatened to be put behind bars.
Oh, yeah.
That's no fun for them. But we really don't have the kind of persecution, raw persecution that you see around the world. I'm thinking of places in Africa, like sub-Saharan Africa. I read an article recently what's happening in Nigeria in particular is very, very bad. They're attacking it's Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Muslim group in sub-Saharan Africa that has driven over 16 million Christians from their homes, burning their churches, burning their homes, attacking the pastors in public. It's the Fulani military brigade. It's a Muslim group, and they have attacked Christians all across sub-Saharan Africa. We also see in North Korea, of course, maybe the worst place on earth for a Christian to be. It's totally outlawed, and you have to worship the president or whatever he calls himself, I think, president. That's a crazy land if there ever was one. It's one of the places where every once in a while they have a purge and shooting everybody, particularly if you're Christians, they execute you. And of course we have great persecution, by the way, in China and in India. You expect it out of the Chinese, but historically the Indian subcontinent, the Hindus have been fairly mild toward Christians. So there's more persecution than we would be used to, that's for sure. But today, they're really persecuting Christians. And not only Christians, they're also persecuting Muslims, of course. Mm-hmm. We don't want to see a persecution of any religious group.
No.
And then all across the Middle East, Christians and Muslims have persecuted Christians almost out of their our native land, you will, for where Christianity began. It was in Syria and Lebanon. I was just talking to a fellow from Lebanon yesterday playing basketball. And I asked him, when did your family come over to the U.S.? And this is in Charleston. in West Virginia, and he said, well, in 1895 we came.
Mm.
And I wanted to ask him if they came because of persecution, because the Ottoman Empire was persecuting Christians all through the Ottoman Empire at that time. And the next time I see him, I'm going to ask him. But there's persecution, much of it in this world. Let me make a statement I know is true. The most persecuted people on the face of the earth today are Christians. And we have almost no coverage in this country about it.
True.
Do you see it in the newspapers?
No.
The most persecuted group on the face of the earth is people living in Christian lands, that group. Now, of course, Jewish people are persecuted, but their numbers are so small in some of these countries.
Mm-hmm.
They are persecuted too, and it's an amazing thing that we see across the world, and yet hardly a word is said about it day after day after day on the news. It's just simply
mm-hmm.
not covered.
Mm-hmm. When we see these very sad news stories, certainly it evokes sympathy in our own hearts towards those who are being struck down, persecuted. And at the same time, I want to make sure for me personally, and I hope maybe my friends, that they don't develop such a negative attitude, that of losing, that of expecting, say, oh, well, this is the way it's supposed to be. We just lose. And a very negative attitude. I think the Lord, I know the Lord wants to do mighty works in our midst as we repent and believe in Him, trusting Him, and then really obey Him. I think there's some wonderful times ahead, depending on how that plays out. And I know that God orchestrates all things according to the counsel of His will. And at the same time, He converts hearts. He takes off the blinders, as it were. And what a difference that makes. And it gets lived out. Those are some of my feelings that I have a concern about, that Christians don't develop an attitude like, oh, well, it's not going to get any better now. It's just going to, we're all just going to burn up.
Well, that's a good outlook, and it must be. Of course, you well know the verse where the Apostle Paul sometimes can go on a riff just like I did about the situation in the world. But at the same time, he turns around and says, and this is the way we have to think and remember and have faith in the one who is providential in all of his dealings. And it is that wherever sin abounds, there does much more grace abound.
Amen.
And if I had one bit of counsel for any minister who was young minister who's entering the pulpit, I would caution him to remember that God's grace and God's love is deeper in a real sense than His judgment.
Mm.
And it's an outlook that we need to have. And the Apostle Paul had it. He himself was whipped and beaten and everything else, but you never see pessimism in him. There is no such thing
right.
as pessimism in him.
Right.
It's never that the glass is half empty. It's always, always, as far as he is concerned, it's full. There was an English bishop who described Paul's ministry this way. I think it was about 70 years ago. He says, wherever the Apostle Paul went, he was beaten and thrown in jail. Wherever I go, they serve me tea. So, yes, the Apostle Paul suffered mightily, but boy, he never got discouraged.
Yes.
In the sense of losing sight of what really is going on. You know, I have not seen nor ear has heard, hasn't even entered in the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. And there is something going on behind the scenes.
Amen.
That yet not even faith can quite quite grasp
its
fullness, but can trust that it's there.
You know, the times when we get a little down, a little discouraged, maybe we don't even want to hear a message from our pastor, those are the very times where if we force ourselves and we're consistent and we get our tithe prepared to put in the offering plate and we go to church, and even if it's with a pastor who's less than perfect, and I think they all are.
Testify to that.
And we participate in the singing of God's hymns with the people of God, prayers, hearing scripture read, the Holy Spirit does a supernatural work more than we could ever imagine, even if that church is imperfect. How important it is, Pastor Vance, can you talk about church attendance?
Well, for all of us pastors, I heard a joke once where a mother came in and hollered at her son, said, "Son, you got to get out of bed, that we're going to be late for church." She came in about three times, and finally the son said to her, his mother says, "Well, listen, I'll give you three reasons I'm not getting out of bed and going to church today. Two reasons. Number one, I don't like those people down there, and number two, they don't like me." And the mother says, "Well, I'll give you two good reasons why you're going to church today. Number one, you're 40 years old, and number two, you're the pastor of the church." Now, Paul says, be instant in season and out of season.
Yes.
We must not allow our feelings at a given moment, which are very transitory,
they are,
to dictate our lifestyle. And we are called to look up to our high calling in Christ Jesus. Paul says, "I press on toward the mark." And this is not just for the pastor or the elder, the leaders of the church. It's for every church member.
Everybody.
To keep on keeping going. The writer of Hebrews says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is." We need to gather together, and fellowship, I have found, always bucks people up, gives them strength.
It does. It does.
And it's a wonderful thing.
It is. And you know, the enemy of our soul comes up and say, "Well, you haven't been very good this week. How could you possibly go to church? You got mad at your wife. You kicked the dog. You cussed. And can you go to church with that kind of stuff?" Well, you know, the fact is, that's all the more reason to go to church, to be with God's people, to hear God's word preached, to have the Holy Spirit minister to your heart, partake of the sacrament. These are wonderful things that you can't just gen up yourself. It's miraculous, isn't it?
Well, I heard a country preacher preach a sermon when I was about 23 years of age. And he said in the sermon, and I have never forgotten this, he says, the devil's biggest tool is discouragement.
Amen.
And if the devil can discourage you from going to church, the first thing you know, you will be isolated from people.
Yeah.
You begin to think in a way that people don't like you, and that this is hopeless, and this and that. The frame of mind that we can allow ourselves get into can be very destructive to us.
Oh,
I don't
yes.
know all the ins and outs and how the mind-body relationship works, but I will say this. Our minds are to be brought into captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
In fact, the Apostle Paul says in Philippians, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And for all that he faced, he persevered through that to win our salvation on the cross and in his resurrection. And Christians are to keep their eye, as the preacher says, on the prize, and the prize is our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And march the upward way.
Well, that's a nice summary, and I'm looking at the clock, and that's about all we have time for. So we'll go forward with that in mind from our dear Pastor Vance, and thank you for joining us today. It's always a pleasure to hear your words of wisdom. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.